Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman here, joined by the head coach on the eve of the preseason opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who will actually be their second game in the preseason. And Gus, when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's probably kind of nice for your football team in their first preseason game to actually have a little game footage from their game against the Minnesota Vikings in a Hall of Fame game last week and for them to look at.
Oh, it is. You know, although it's training camp for us and we still have some install that's going in, you know, for a lot of these guys, they get a chance to start their preparation and start to learn to watch film and how they should go about it. And to have a game that was just this past week is great for them to start that process.
You know, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, I watched a little bit of that film today. They didn't play a lot of their starters on offense. They're big three guys, you know, Bell and Brown and Roethlisberger didn't play. But by the reports coming out of Pittsburgh, their head coach has stated, Mike Tomlin, that guys that are healthy are going to play. So that means that's good for you guys, because that's what preseason is about, is testing your guys.
You know what? In this preseason, the way it's set up with games, you know, the skill positions and the threats that we have in offense and defense, really great challenges. And it starts off with Pittsburgh. And their skill positions are guys that, you know, our DBs are going to face some challenges. And, you know, our D-line with the pass rush and our linebackers with underneath coverage.
Do you have much experience? Do you know Mike Tomlin? He's in his ninth year. He's been very successful. Tell us about Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, no, he's a good man. When I was at Tampa Bay, Mike left the year before. But because of our affiliation with Tampa, Mike and I have known each other for years and had, you know, conversations throughout. And, Mike, you can see he's really, really good defensive-minded coach and a really good head coach. And the players, I think, really respond to him. And it doesn't matter. That's what I like about Mike. If it's preseason, regular season, those guys always come to play, and that's the environment that you want.
And he's had a little bit of change on his staff. A longtime coach, Hall of Famer in my mind, Dick LeBeau. Well, he's coached that defensive side of the ball for the Pittsburgh Steelers for so long, and he is now retired. Now they have a new defensive coordinator. But Mike Tomlin's got a defensive background just like you.
Sure. Now, let's not diminish the fact Dick LeBeau is great.
Oh, I mean, amazing. And not only as a coach,
yeah,
but as a player, one of the greatest players that ever played in the National Football League.
Yeah, unbelievable football mind. So much respect. So when you say, okay, well, he's not coaching on defense anymore, well, you know, next man, well, hold on now. This guy is great. But with that, you're right. Mike's got a defensive background. You're going to probably see more incorporation of his philosophy in there. And you see that in just a little bit of tape that we've seen.
Do you talk with an opposing coach prior to a preseason game to maybe get an idea of, hey, look, you know, our guys are going to play for this long, to get an idea of maybe how you guys want to go about the game?
I don't know if that occurs. It has not occurred with me.
Okay.
You know, so I've not made a habit or, you know, have talked to him. You know, before the game, you talk to coaches, but it rarely gets into that conversation. You know, I think every team is different in what you're looking to accomplish. We have a pretty good idea what we need to do with our guys and what they need to see. And, you know, we go about it that way. Regardless, you know, it's not going to change how long their starters play. You know, we know what we need to have done after this first game.
The rotation seems to always be a topic of conversation.
Sure.
When you get to the preseason. And do you have an idea of how long you would like your guys to play in preseason game number one tomorrow night?
Well, we do, you know, and it's always difficult. I know I was asked that question today by the media. And in some cases, I told them, you know, like,
I'm the media too, Gus, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, like T.J. Yeldon, you know, we said that he wasn't going to play. But, you know, our general, I'm torn a little bit because we don't announce it to our players. In a team meeting, we'll tell them, hey, you know the general idea of how long you're going to play. But we don't get specific because we don't want them, not that they would, but even be enticed by play counting.
Well,
you know?
I did that.
Yeah. Because, I know, exactly.
You know, to be honest with you, I mean, when you're a veteran player and you become established, and you're confident in your place, when you get to a preseason game, the only thing you're looking to do is to get out of the preseason is to tune your skills and get out of it healthy. And so when you were in a preseason game, you would literally, the coach says, hey, you're going to get 8 to 10 plays, and once you got to 10, you know, if the series ends, you'd be going over there tapping on the coach's shoulder saying, that was actually 11 plays, coach. Am I out?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's why, you know, I've never had that happen to me, especially here. But we just don't do that. You know, we give them a general idea. Could be a quarter, could be a quarter and a half, could be even a little bit longer, depending on the number of plays. Just play and we'll take care of that. So
can performance change that, too? Let's say the offense is, you know, in your mind, you say, you know, I'd love for them to play a quarter, which is typically 12 to 15 plays. And let's say the couple drives that they had maybe didn't do exactly what you would expect. And you say, hey, look, you know, maybe they need one more. Could performance change that?
Well, it's a discipline that you have to have as a coach. But realistically, yes, it could. You know, if one side of the ball is struggling, you'd like to get them on rhythm or they get a chance. You know, you'd like to give them that opportunity, but I think you also have to be disciplined to say, all right, this was the plan we have. Let's stick to it and let's get these guys off the field, you know, like we had planned initially.
You grew up in the same era that I did. I mean, we're about the same age. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 70s, I mean, we're the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, the steel curtain on defense and Terry Bradshaw and Rocky Blyer and Lynn Swan, I mean, the great player after great, Mike Webster, I mean, the biggest arms you ever seen on a man. Did you watch the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Oh, yeah, the Vikings, because I grew up a Viking.
Yeah, that's what I
figured.
And
the Super Bowl, you know, with the Pittsburgh. So, yeah, just a lot of respect. You know, not for the, how about the organization, the number of coaches they've had. And just,
Mike Tomlin's the third one since 1969.
You know,
it's crazy.
You know, just how the organization handles itself in first class. And you hear from a lot of players that played for the organization, just what it's like to be a part of that. So I really hold the organization in high, high regard, along with their coaching staff and players.
Did you have a favorite player growing up? I mean, you were obviously a fan of, what, Minnesota Vikings,
yeah.
Right? Did you have a favorite player?
Yeah, it was Chuck Foreman.
Chuck Foreman.
Yeah.
Great player.
Yeah, he was awesome.
What did you play when you were young?
I was a quarterback, but you know, after every game on Sunday, I went out in the yard and, you know, did some spin moves and trying to make people miss because, you know, I was Chuck Foreman. There's no doubt in my mind I was Chuck Foreman at 3:45 on a Sunday afternoon, probably back in the early 1970s or 70s. So, yeah, I love that part of it. And same thing, you know, Logs, you get so caught up. That's why I understand the passion of our fans towards their NFL team.
Sure.
I can remember crying when the Vikings lost. You know, sitting there, yeah. And my mom would say, all right, you know, it's okay. And just, you know, just feeling so bad, you know, for I think myself and the team. And so I get it, the passion that people have for their teams.
Did you have a quarterback that was your favorite since you played the position?
Yeah, Burt Jones.
Burt Jones.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. See, I remember growing up, I had a couple different favorite players. I mean, John Riggins was just, you know, a tremendous player of the Diesel. And probably my favorite player of all when I was real young was Jack Lambert.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you remember the Pittsburgh Steelers were a great football team back then. So, I mean, Jack Lambert was, I mean, he was everything on defense. And I played linebacker. So, I mean, for me, he was the man.
Right. Well, you know, Terry Bradshaw was unbelievable. But you didn't like Terry Bradshaw because they beat your team in you know, the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, you know, Burt Jones, you know, just he could throw it now. He had a strong arm and. You know, but there were so many players, you know, even in the college ranks. Anthony Davis is at USC, mm-hmm. And, you know, there were so many players that, you know, I think their personalities and how they carry themselves you were drawn to.
I remember growing up as a kid, we used to play. You remember the old football game that had the – and this was about the same time. This was the game that you turned it on and it vibrated and you had all these little guys and they kind of moved around. Did you play that too?
Yes, I did.
And we used to play a game. Which kind of I don't know if anybody else ever played this. We would have football cards and we would literally line up a football team on the carpet. We would have 11
and then
men.
You could flip the card and on the back it would say 2 yard gain or 3 yard gain or missed field goal.
Yes,
or, you know, so you could play the game.
Yeah. And I remember that was the era, though. I mean, that was the golden era. In that golden era, you had the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the perennial best teams, you know, along with the Dallas Cowboys. And
sure,
it was a lot of fun growing up watching the Pittsburgh Steelers. But do you ever have memories that flash back to you when you play as a coach now, when you're in the NFL,
that you could look back upon and say, well, I remember when I was a kid. And
you do. You do. There's no doubt. You know, a team like Pittsburgh, you run into them, or like I say, like Minnesota, you know, when I go back and, you know, we play the Vikings. Sure, there's a lot of flashbacks that come into your mind. And, you know, you kind of pinch yourself a little bit too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that quickly leaves, man. When it's time to compete.
Because it's reality.
Yeah. You know, you compete and you're going. So
I remember the first time that I played at RFK, you know, because I grew up in Northern Virginia. And the first time I ever got to play at RFK, it was a big deal for me.
Oh, yeah. That's like, you know, these players. You know, one of the questions we're going to ask these players is, you know, well, we talked this morning about just how – what's your mindset going into this game, you know? And, you know, you've heard me talk before about some of these guys go in there and go, okay, here's my chance. I got to make an impression on the coaching staff and this team, and I got to go out there and do this. And they never were like that in practice. Mm-hmm. And that's how players, you know, sometimes play poorly in games. So I think it's that discipline, that mindset to really trust, hey, what I did in practice, I'm going to carry over to this game field, and I'm going to use that same skill set on the field in the game, and I'm going to trust that it will work for me.
Can you kind of pinpoint certain players that maybe that would have an effect on?
Yeah, you know what? And see, the point is with us is that tonight, or this today, was not the first day that we talked about it. You know, this has really been since OTAs, mm-hmm. you know, and preparing yourself and to play in a heightened environment or a calm environment. It doesn't matter. It should be the same. And these guys are trying to have a mastery of their skill set and, you know, the ability to really calm the world down, whether it's heightened or calm, and then their self, you know, to really stay true to their principles and their teachings that they've learned in practice. But it's difficult.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back. I want to talk about game plan and kind of what a game plan is like going into preseason game one, and we'll do that on the Gus Bradley Show right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Big night tomorrow night. Preseason opener for the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and very much looking forward to that. And Gus, for a preseason game number one, game plans aren't all that extensive, are they? Ben, and the reason why, is it because of the evaluation process and watching players athletically that don't think?
Well, a couple things. First of all, you know, a typical practice day, you know, you're still going against the offense, or the offense is going against the defense for three periods. And then you have one period of prep work for the team that you're playing. So you're trying to evaluate good versus good and trying to get an understanding. Second of all, when you are game planning, when you have that short period to work with, and these guys have been only in your system for a couple months, how much defense or offense can you run, expect them to execute at a high level, as well as you're trying to evaluate them? Because, you know, if they're thinking a lot, all of a sudden they're not playing as fast as they should, mm-hmm. and you're trying to evaluate them playing fast. And you have to kind of project that as they get more information or more defense or offense, that speed will be there, but you surely don't want to lose that. So the game plans, you might know the personnel groupings that are on the field. You have their base defenses that they're going to play, maybe a pressure or two that they like to run, and that's it. And you're trying to evaluate guys.
Is this good for you guys? Because I noticed that this week during practice, you guys ran what I call card plays.
Yes.
So in other words, okay, let's say it's an offensive period, then the defense is kind of the look team. And they look up and look at a card, and okay, here's the defense we're running. This is kind of Pittsburgh's look. But you guys play a 4-3 defense. Your division has a couple different 3-4 defenses. Pittsburgh plays a 3-4 defense. So was it a great opportunity this week to work some cards, you know, with your team to see a defense that you don't see against yourself in the first 2 weeks of training camp?
Right. You know, this is the first time that our defense has lined up in a 3-4 for our offense. Now, it's not the first time our offense has seen a 3-4. In OTAs, they use garbage cans.
Right.
In training camp, the other offensive players will line up and give them the looks that they're looking for in a walkthrough period. But this is the first time the defense actually lined up and tried to execute and run the defense, you know, like a defense would. So that's always good work. Again, not the first time we've seen it, but maybe the first time we've seen it with moving parts.
And with your offense today, it was reported that T.J. Yeldon would not play.
Correct.
The hand, I noticed that he practiced this week, and he had the red jersey, he had the red hat on, which signifies no contact on that player. just one of these things, hey, look, let's just err on the side of caution with
sure.
the young player?
Yeah, he could probably go. I think, you know, for us, as the decision was that he's not 100%, and to put him in there, and here he's going to go and try to be, you know, do everything he can, and the protections and things like that. I think it's, you know, unfair to put a player in there that's not 100% and ask him to, you know, be his best, especially this time of the year. So, you know, there's occasions we will, but this one we felt pretty strong about.
Denard Robinson hasn't been talked about much in training camp. But, you know, watching him in training camp, there are moments that he has that kind of make you go, that was pretty nice.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about moments that are between the tackles, because Denard has always looked good when he's in space. But between the tackles, Denard Robinson is starting to look like a running back.
Yeah, he is. It's a great thought or a great sight to see that, because he's gaining confidence. One thing that I've noticed, he'll stick his foot in the ground, and last year at times he may have gone down easy. You know, he was getting a feel for things. But now this year, you're not seeing that as much. I'm really going to be, you know, have a close eye on him. He has really come along as a running back. The challenge for Denard, what we're challenging him on, is protections. He understands what he's doing now, has a great idea of it, but getting reps at doing it. Mm-hmm. But you're right, as a running back, very pleased with his progress and how he's come along.
Well, you talk about protection. When you play a 3-4 defense and Pittsburgh likes to blitz, this could be a good test for the running backs and Denard Robinson at that very thing,
which is
blitz pickup protection.
Right, and I think, you know, across the board for us, protection's big. And, you know, to have the ability to establish the run is going to be important. But there's going to be times when it's pass, and everybody knows it's pass. And the linemen have to block, the backs have to protect, the quarterback has to make the right reads, and those things have to work together. And, you know, we got a great, great test coming up tomorrow.
We'll spend a little bit of time on the offensive line. I'm going to save the center competition for after the break. But before we get to the break, Brandon Linder and Jeremy Parnell on the right side, it has been a lot of fun to watch these two guys in training camp so far. It looks like they've played together longer than just an off season.
It really is. I mean, those two guys, they've really formed a pact where they understand each other. Now, two totally different people, you know, two totally different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. But their, you know, their friendship, their trust, their you know, they communicate very well. They have really, really grown up in a hurry together, and it's great to see. But very, very pleased with those two, how they've come along.
When you look at a guy like Jeremy Parnell, you guys, obviously, extensive evaluation in the offseason prior to signing him as a free agent. And so, and obviously, as a free agent, there's limited opportunities to evaluate, because it's got to be on pretty much on tape.
Sure.
What have you learned about Jeremy Parnell from having him in the offseason and now through training camp that maybe you didn't know about him prior to signing him?
Well,
as a player.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you're looking at a right tackle, the things that stood out with him were his toughness. And that's one of the traits you're looking for in a right tackle. You generally, you know, offenses are tight end right-handed, and you run towards the right tackle. And, you know, so his physicalness and mentality. And then his athleticism for a right tackle really showed up. I think, you know, I think both those traits we're seeing in training camp. Just his level of how fast he's picked it up. And, you know, he is motivated now. He doesn't say much, but he wants to be a very, very, very good right tackle.
He's a great competitor in practice.
He really is.
And that's usually the first sign of a guy that wants to be good.
That's right. And when you have him and Linder side by side, two guys that are extreme competitors, I think it has elevated his play too. So we're seeing those traits even stronger.
All right. This segment was brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. We come back here on the Gus Bradley Show. We'll talk about that center competition right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Jeff Loggeman here with the head coach, and we talked about the right side of that offensive line really kind of starting to solidify. The center battle continues. I know you said that Luke Belenko would get the start at center and Stefan Wisniewski will rotate in at some point. Is it going to be a rotational thing or one guy goes until he's done and then the next guy comes in with those two tomorrow night?
Well, those guys will both play. You know, probably see him go into the in the first half, you know, on a rotation. So it's important to see them both against a high level of competition. So, you know, you'll see it. I mean, last week, I think in the scrimmage, Wiz started, you know, and then this game, Luke starting. And then as we keep going on, it's more of a chance to see them both like that to evaluate. But you know what? These guys, it's amazing. You watch them on practice, and they help each other, and they challenge each other. And both of them are getting better through this competition.
A lot of offensive line positions, you could say, okay, we'll let the battle continue through training camp, and then we get the full evaluation. Is center different because he's the captain of the ship, so to speak, of that offensive line group? He may not be the leader in the locker room, but on the field he has to be because he's the guy that's making the call. So is this something that you'd like to have settled sooner rather than later?
Sure, you'd like to. You know, I think through last year we had a young team, and with that offensive line, you know, we had changes taking place in the first and second game. And I think through that we realized, boy, it's so important to have that continuity. The difference this year is we've got more veteran guys. You know, Wiz is a veteran player, and Luke is his second year, so has a better understanding of things. So, but we don't want to take that for granted that we can extend this competition longer because of that. So we'll let it play out, see how it works out. Obviously, if it shows up earlier, we'll make a decision.
Have you had kind of a timeline in your mind to say, hey, look, you know, let's make sure we get this decision made by the fourth preseason game or the third preseason game.
Yeah, by the end of preseason. But, you know, if it happens in the third preseason game, I mean, that's fine. Again, but not at the expense of, you know, speed, at the expense of making the right decision.
Right. Let's look at the left side of the offensive line. Monday and Tuesday, you guys were in full pads. You had the scrimmage on Saturday. Sunday, the players were off. Monday and Tuesday were full pads. And the guy that's really started to jump out to me was A.J. Cann, your draft pick from South Carolina at left guard. Did you see the same thing, or am I seeing what I'm seeing?
No. He did. He had a nice scrimmage. You know, A.J. started a lot of games in college now, so he's got a lot of experience and went in there, and it's not too big for him. So I think what's different, what you see with A.J., is that he stepped in and, you know, things came to him pretty quickly. You know, he's very sharp, understands offense. So, you know, he's competing at a high level. So with that, you saw him perform well in the scrimmage. Now it's the consistency. Did a couple days in practice. Now hopefully it carries over to the game.
Could that position be up for grabs? I mean, could it be a competition without rotating two guys like Wisniewski and Belenko?
Right. You know, and Zane is a guy that has played a lot of football. You know, I know that he came in, he started, 64 games. You can count him. You can trust him as far as his health is concerned, and you know what you're getting. And those guys, you know, if you would ask the offensive line, they really look up to Zane and his leadership skills and what he brings. So, you know, it's just that we're in a great situation, you know, to have both those guys. And also a guy like Austin Pastor is as well helping in there. So, you know, the idea of creating some depth and competition at the same time, it's always a good thing.
And the numbers for offensive line, you and Dave are the guys that really kind of look and say, okay, here's the roster formulations when we have to get to 53. Have you guys had discussions about offensive linemen? Is it going to be 9 or is it going to be 8? Could it be 10?
Sure, those discussions will come up. You know, we talk about players. We had a personnel meeting last night, and we talk about, but, you know, after this game, more of those type conversations will take place.
And the reason that I ask that, because there's a young player that's sitting behind this battle at center in Wisniewski and Belenko and Tyler Shatley, who has shown some really nice power at the center spot. And I know last year he got some snaps at the guard position. He's a guy that looks like he is making a case for himself.
Yeah, he's done a good job too. You know, here's a guy that played in the defensive line and, you know, has really played only offense for a couple of years. So for him, it's been a developmental period, especially last year. But now, again, with the system, you know, having a year under his belt, you're seeing this maturation process happen quicker than it did last year. And, you know, so you're right. He has put out some good tape, so we'll have a close eye on him as well.
Left tackle, which is probably everybody's going, when are you going to ask about Luke Jokel? Because it's it's a lot of conversation around the coffee machine. A lot of people want to know, how is Luke Jokel progressing so far in training camp?
Well, I think he's done a good job. You know, and I think if you asked Luke, he'd say, hey, I still have a ways to go. You know, he's his hardest critic. And there's some areas that, you know, he wants to get better at. I think this game tomorrow that we have will really be a good test for him. And, you know, a chance for him to stay in his zone. I know he wants to, you know, stay really strict to his techniques and not get, you know, where he's top heavy or sits back too far or he can handle the power or, you know, all those things. He's got a lot of things going through his mind. I think he's calmed that world down, and now it's a matter of just gaining confidence. But he's a much more confident player. Not that he was ever not confident, but he has that confidence this year more so than last.
The one thing that is very apparent that he is doing well is run blocking. I don't think that's ever been a question mark when it comes to Luke Jokel. He's got great finish, he plays with great power, and he's got nice leverage.
Right, and, you know, like you said, the word finish, that's what's important, and he does that in the run blocking, and now he just needs to continue to do that. He's very athletic, and I think if you ask Doug Marrone, loves his athleticism, loves what he brings to the table, and he'll just continue to learn to finish on his pass protection as well.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, probably flip over to the other side of the ball and talk a little defense and also the importance of special teams in the preseason where there is live action. And we'll do that on the Gus Bradley Show right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Join John Osher and J.P. Shadrick for Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. We'll have special guests keep you informed with the latest Jaguar news and take your social media questions. Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on Jaguars.com. Back here with the Gus Bradley Show and the head coach, Gus Bradley. Gus, flipping it over to the defensive side of the ball, you know, when I was putting the game board together, I came to the realization that tomorrow night against the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're not going to have one starting defensive lineman.
No, I know. You know what? And we were looking at this. You know, it's funny when you're a coach and a GM and the staff, you look at it and you say all the different possibilities of guys starting. You know, how about this combination? How about this combination? Or, you know, and you're trying to find ways to get guys on the field. But it could be on defense where we have seven new starters. You know, mm-hmm. There's a combination where that could
tomorrow
easily
night
take place in the regular season.
Yeah.
You know, it's not far-fetched. So even though, you know, it's our third year and guys are coming back. Now, fortunately, there's some veterans in there that understand the game of football and can pick it up. So for us to go in there in this game and not have some of those guys started, it's good. We're creating depth. And, well, like I said, with special teams, there's going to be stories that take place. There's going to be guys that really show up.
Well, Sendarek is recovering from the ACL. And obviously that's being closely monitored by the training staff and the doctors. Chris Clemens, it's a personal reason. No reason to ask about a personal reason. Roy Miller, though, and Jared Odrick, is there any long-term concern with these two guys, or is it just precautionary?
Yeah, more precautionary. You know, take care of them and make sure it's, I think for them, it's supposed to settle down. And now it's just a matter of, okay, you know, when to bring him back you know, but they're making really good progress.
Out of the rest of that defensive line group that we're going to see tomorrow night, and one guy in particular that, for me, I think has had a very quiet, solid training camp, and has probably been quiet because of the position that he plays, and that's Avery Jones. I thought Avery Jones has had a very nice camp.
He has. He's gotten a lot of reps, you know, with Roy being down. And the thing about Avery is he can play nose, three. He can be our
strong
big
end.
He can be a six technique, a left end. So very versatile. And you know what? Avery came in and I would say had a solid OTAs, but he came back different now. When we challenge our guys from mini camp to training camp to come back and have your best month and a half that you've ever had, Avery took that to heart. And he's showing up. He's leaned up. He's strong. Different style than Roy Miller.
Leaned up.
Well, leaned up compared to where he was.
You know what? I never would think of that term when I would look at Avery Jones and go, yeah, he's really leaned
up. Yeah, you know what? When you're around him every day, these guys, you know, it's like Jeremy Parnell. Yeah, he's pretty good size. Pretty good size.
Pretty good size. He's a giant.
Yeah, you know, so Yeah, but really excited for Avery, and he'll get quite a few playing quite a few reps tomorrow night.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people kind of, I don't want to say discount him, because I know that you guys appreciate him, because Avery Jones last year was a very productive player. What did he have, like 2 or 3 sacks last year? And very good. When you watch him play in a game, I'm not trying to knock Roy Miller at all, because Roy's a fantastic player, but it's not like there's a drop-off when Avery goes in the game.
Well, yeah, it's just different styles. Yeah. And Roy, you trust. You know exactly where he's going to be. Tough, hard-nosed, great get-off. And Avery, I think, has really learned under Roy. And it's really a credit to Todd Wash and Aaron Whitecotton. We try to pride ourselves on being developmental coaches, and to take a guy like Avery Jones and develop him. And, it's really, a credit to Avery as well. But it's good to see.
And it should be a good test for him, as well as some of the other younger players, which we'll talk about in a minute, because Marquise Pouncey expected to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow night, their veteran center from the University of Florida. Dave DeCastro, the veteran guard from Stanford, he played in the first preseason game against Minnesota last weekend. So they essentially played all of their starters. Ramon Foster didn't play, but they played him elsewhere. So good test. Now, the young group behind Avery Jones, Roy Miller, you've got some young players, Richard Ash, Eric Kroom, and Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett, your sixth-round pick out of Ohio State. What has he shown you so far?
Well, I think the surprising thing about Michael is that he's a really good technician, really strong-handed, so obviously a guy that we feel is going to be really good versus the run. But I think what really surprised us is his one-on-one pass rushes, and as a pass rusher, that's the part that's jumped out at us. He's won some of his one-on-ones, and I think he's really developing that part of the game. And the big thing with the defensive line is obviously I think the guys behind him need to be able to trust them. That if they got a certain gap, they're going to play a certain gap, no matter if it's a double team or a wide reach or whatever the case is, they can count on him. And I think he's building that trust with the defensive unit.
I was talking to one of the guys on your staff, and he pointed at Michael, and he said, "I think he's going to play for a long time." And I said, "Well, why would you have that thought?" I said, "Is it what you see from him physically?" And he said, "No." He said, "It's the way that he's carried himself, the way that that he applies himself." He said, "You can tell that he wants to be good."
He does. Very sharp, very intelligent, picks things up very quickly, a professional, and just does things right. One of the leaders of that group, we just had a rookie meeting. I just met with the rookies to see how they were doing. And, he was one of the guys that kind of, took charge of the whole room. So, yeah, very pleased with him. And I would agree that he's got a chance to play for a while.
Did you get a chance to watch the Hall of Fame induction speeches this
no,
past
I
weekend?
Didn't.
Did you hear about some of them?
I heard about some of them, but I didn't.
Because I know you love watching people public speak.
Right. Yeah, well, I like to, hear their story and how they made it and what's important to them. And, I heard one of the lines that said, "You have to have the courage to watch other players in the NFL. I think Jim Brown said that. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that is so true. And I shared that with some of our players. Jonathan Cyprian, you have to have the courage to watch a guy like Cam Chancellor. Sometimes ego gets involved. I don't need to watch these guys. My game is good enough. But, I think it really spoke loudly. And when you listen to these guys, there's a lot of wisdom.
All right, well, we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back right here on the Gus Bradley Show. Because one of the guys that really impressed me was Jerome Bettis. And I don't know if he's going to be in town for the Pittsburgh Steelers preseason game tomorrow night. But if people haven't seen it, it is a must-watch, the Hall of Fame speech. We'll be back with the Gus Bradley Show right after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
We're counting the days here. And counting down to kickoff for the regular season opener. But first we go through the preseason. We're here on the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Logan with the head coach. The reason I brought up the Hall of Fame is that I really am intrigued. I love listening. First of all, I'm a huge fan of football, if you didn't know that. And I love watching the guys in their induction speech and listening to them talk about the game and talk about who helped them along the way. And I'm not a big fan of the very long speeches like Tim Brown. I didn't think Tim Brown did a very good job, but he was a heck of a player. But Jerome Bettis, I thought, did a fantastic job. Organized, had his notebook, thanked the right people in the right way, played to the fans a little bit. I just thoroughly enjoyed his induction speech. Absolutely fantastic. And we were talking about public speakers, and I know you love listening to guys speak. Who's the greatest football speaker that you have ever heard?
Wow. That's a great question. Gene Stallings, you know,
really?
I heard him speak. I thought he was phenomenal. You know, talk slow.
Yeah.
You know, captured your attention. There was no pictures or, you know.
He didn't have the computer overhead.
No, and that. Then, you know, he would talk, and then there'd be silence, and then he'd talk again. And I can remember, you know, saying, please don't end.
When was this?
This was back in, I think, 1992. I heard him speak at National Football Convention.
Wow.
And he was really, really impressionable.
Anybody else stand out?
Oh, yeah, like John Gruden, you know, great speaker. You know,
Chucky?
Oh, yeah. I mean, unbelievable in a team meeting room.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Another guy that, I mean, could capture your attention and stimulate you and challenge you. And, you know, they talk about what, make him laugh, make him cry, make him think. Mm-hmm. He could do that in 20 seconds. You know, mm-hmm. he was unbelievably talented.
The one guy that I can still remember to this day, as far as coaches, football people speaking, I go all the way back to my high school head football coach, Ed Scott. He was tremendous. I mean, well, by the time he got done talking, you were, where's the brick wall? I'm going to run through it.
Now, those, you know, I know a lot of high school coaches, and one thing that with them is they are passionate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Tony Vaselli, man. Huh? I mean, isn't he passionate when he speaks? I mean, if you ask him his opinion, he's passionate about giving
sure
his opinion.
He's usually wrong, but he's going to give you his opinion.
No, it is. You know, you can't get enough of it. And then to see these players and how passionate they are. But, you know, some of these guys are at different stages of their life, mm-hmm. and they are. And they're so appreciative to all the people that have impacted and had an impact on them and helped them get to where they, you know, to be in position to accept that. So, yeah, I was hoping that I'd be able to chance to watch it. I know we have it taped, so. You'll have to check it out later.
It's always fun to go back and listen. And one of the reasons why I kind of refer back to my high school coach is because, you know, every person at a stage of life, and I was thinking that everybody should be able to do what the Hall of Fame inductees do, and that's to recognize people to thank along the way.
Sure.
If you had to go back in time to your formative years, you know, whether it be college or high school, and go back and have a speech and thank somebody from that era in your life, who would it be?
Oh, wow.
Would it be a high school coach?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, my parents, you know. You know, they had such a tremendous impact in my life. And then you're right, the coaches. I mean, I had was that North?
Who was your head coach, high school?
Ken Belanger.
Who was your position coach?
In high school?
High school.
Ken Belanger.
Same?
Our hometown.
We only
had 40 kids
football?
In our school. And he was our basketball coach and assistant baseball. Come on, Logs. I didn't come from a big school like you, man.
No, I didn't. Oh, Lord. Five-man football in Minnesota. Let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show, and we'll talk. We'll get a little bit away from kind of rehashing the old days and talk a little bit of tomorrow night Pittsburgh Steelers football. We'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And big game tomorrow night. The Jaguars open up the preseason against the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow night. And one of the positions that we have yet to talk about that certainly will get a lot of evaluation with you and your coaching staff, Gus, is the defensive backfield. And I know safety is a position you got to battle with Sergio Brown and Josh Evans and Craig Lawston. But the corner position, you guys have really been mixing different combinations of players at that corner position. Devon House, Demetrius McCray, Aaron Colvin, Dwayne Gross. Everybody's getting reps.
Yeah. you know, I think there is no surprise. That was it's a fierce competition going on there. And, you know, just very similar to the center spot where you're seeing the challenge in each other, and it's really elevated the level of play. I think the number of pass breakups that we have in training camp compared to OTAs is about doubled, you know, comparative to the practices. So that tighter coverage that we were looking for. It's amazing, Logs, as you know, when you have competition amongst your team, it just, you know, elevates people's performance.
Do you track the number of interceptions in training camp last year compared to this year? Because,
yeah.
I mean, because, you know, interception differential, which is obviously a big number for the success of a football team. You guys, I think, well, you had 6 interceptions last year through 18, so it was a minus 12 interception differential. And obviously that's a number you want to see. So you want hands on the ball this year.
Right. Well, and, you know, sometimes it's tough. You get PBUs, you know, but you're around the ball, and that shows tighter coverage. Some guys, you know, the ball's not thrown to them. I think Aaron Colvin didn't have a ball thrown to his side in the scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's tough, you know, to get an opportunity when they don't throw it to your side. So, you know, you just try to mark up PBUs and, you know, and techniques. And when they do have an opportunity, they cash in.
All right. Best ball skills of the corners right now. One guy.
Wow. You know what? The first guy that jumped in my mind, but it's probably inaccurate, would be Nick Marshall. I mean, he had a phenomenal pick the other day in practice that I don't know how many guys would have made that pick.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a guy that averaged 26 points a game in basketball and, you know, so very athletic. But, you know, they all have pretty good ball skills. That's one of the things that we look at when we're drafting and picking up corners is that they have to have the ball skills to go with it.
All right, let's take a break. Last break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll ask the head coach what he might say to his team tonight leading into the first game of the preseason. And we'll do that on the Gus Bradley Show right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Here with the head coach and Gus tonight. Typical night before a game in the hotel. You meet with your team, right? And then you have a series of meetings that follow after that. And I know that you prepare a lot for your talks to the team. What might you say to your football team tonight?
Well, I think, you know, we had a good talk this morning, you know, in our meeting. And, again, it's just about, you know, getting an opportunity to play in this game and really about not missing the opportunity, you know, or waiting for the opportunity when not capturing the first opportunity. And then tonight, you know, I think it's going to be more, I'm hoping to get them to talk a little bit more, you know, kind of share their experiences. You know, you got a diverse group. Some of these rookies, it's their first time playing their first game in the NFL. You remember your first game, Lux? First game you played.
I do.
And the anxiety that it brought with it. And not only are you probably a little bit nervous, but you're wondering how to impress the coaches, how to impress your teammates, and what you need to do. And, you know, there's a million things going through their mind. So, find some way to kind of calm that mind down to allow them to be their best.
I can remember my first preseason game ever. It was at the Meadowlands, and I come out to walk through the tunnel. I mean, it's, you know, night game, so the tunnels are dark. And as I'm walking out the tunnel, leaning up against the wall of the tunnel is Lawrence Taylor. And he's got his head down. It's a preseason game. Lawrence Taylor doesn't care about a preseason game. He's got his uniform on. He looks like he's taking a nap leaning up against the wall. And he looks up, and he just kind of sees another 56 and just kind of puts his head right back down and says, hey, I don't know who he is. But, I mean, here's a guy that I remember. I mean, I grew up watching Lawrence Taylor absolutely whip the Washington Redskins and the left tackle for the Washington, Joe Jacoby. Joe Jacoby had just used to get beat up by Lawrence Taylor, and here's the guy that I grew up watching standing in the tunnel as I'm walking out for my first game ever.
Right. I know. Yeah, the what's on these guys' minds, you know, we just say, hey, it's a preseason game. It's going to be great. Get a chance to evaluate, see how far we've come along. Well, some of these guys in that hotel now, I mean, they might not get a lot of sleep tonight. So, you know, we'll get them right. They're excited, though. I mean, playing in a home field, mm-hmm. you know, at the bank, they're excited about it. So it'll be a fun night.
Well, if they don't get a lot of sleep tonight, they can always take a nap tomorrow. I mean, heck, they got plenty of time tomorrow.
There is
right?
No naps tomorrow, Logs.
Why
it's game
not?
Day, man. What are you doing taking a nap? Tony, that's, are you kidding me?
That's
take
taking
a nap
care
on game day
of the body. That's getting the body the rest that it needs in a very strenuous. Well, I don't want to use that term strenuous in a training camp.
We're different, Logs. There is no naps. Tony, you didn't take one, did you? Tell me you didn't. Tony?
Oh, he took naps, there's no doubt. We'll talk to everybody next week, same time, same place, right here on the Gus Bradley Show.